If you're following along again, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, thus far, up to this point, we've covered three main areas. The first one is we have looked at carnality. And we've looked at carnality in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember, every place the word carnal or flesh is used in Scripture doesn't always mean the same thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, carnality means to be fleshly. It's sinfulness.
Yes.
It is disobedience against God, but it has nothing to do with immorality, what we call these base things of life. It has to do with bragging on men. And as Paul said, he sums it up, he says in verse 21, therefore, that's for this whole thing, all of it together, because of all this truth, therefore let no man glory in men. And I just like to say it, period. I'm not just pointing out the punctuation, that's the point. Therefore let no man glory in men, period.
Amen.
God gets all the glory. Secondly, we have seen that God gives the increase.
Yes.
That's again why we said there's no boasting in man. God gives all the increase. Thirdly, the past two Sundays we have examined the one and only foundation. There is one foundation in salvation. That is the person and the cross work. And I want to make that a specific statement. And I haven't really dealt with the person of Christ, but it is the person and the cross work of Jesus Christ. That is the grounds, that is the foundation of our salvation. Everything is based upon that. And I gave you, I don't have the notes with me, but election looked forward to that sacrifice. Regeneration is so that David might see that sacrifice. Faith looks to that sacrifice. Repentance turns to that sacrifice. Good works are to honor that sacrifice. And on and on and on. So we've looked at these things. Now I want to just read on. Beginning in verse 12, and we'll go down through verse 15, and we will deal with that these verses somewhat this morning. Now, Paul says, now. So in other words, he said there's one foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation. Now what? Now the foundation, now in our English it would say, if any man build upon this foundation, then you would state what the foundation is.
Yeah.
But that's not the way it meant. What foundation? The one foundation, Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Now if any man build upon this foundation, now what do they build? What they build is gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day that shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now stop there, not because there is within the context necessarily a stop, but just because of the sake of time, I will get no further than that. I probably won't cover all of this morning. First of all, let me say three things. One, some subjects in Scriptures are not as exciting as others. You know what I mean? And let me say, when you're standing here having to preach to other people, some subjects are far more difficult to preach than others. Because we're going to start looking, we're going to have to, by context, look at what we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? We're building. Men are building upon this foundation. So in effect, David, we're going to talk about what we do. And anytime we talk about what we do, I always stand in a little bit of reservation about that.
Yeah.
And I don't stand here because I think myself to be an example. That's not the point. I'm here because God Almighty called me to stand here, and I'm here to tell His truth. In spite of myself, and in spite of you, and in spite of everything else. And I must state it as God states it. I don't care what our opinions might be. And it doesn't matter if our feelings get hurt. If a feeling gets hurt, it needs to be hurt. It needs to be trampled and ground up into powder and spit out and be done away with it.
Yes, sir.
This is not an easy thing. This is not one of the most glamorous contexts, Joe.
Yeah.
Now, maybe for some folks. Mm-hmm. But I'm weary of that, you know. Then people said, Lord, we did this, and Lord, we did that. And he said, I never knew you.
That's right.
That scares me.
Yeah.
And yet, the scripture says God's people are to be what about good works?
Yeah.
Zealous of good works. We're not to be afraid of good works, are we? We're to be zealous of good works.
Yes, sir.
The second thing, I have no idea what the reward is. It says, if your work abide, you'll receive a reward. Some people say it's a crown. I don't know. It doesn't tell us.
No.
Does it? And somebody said, well, but we'll be crowned in that last day. Well, see, I got a lot of problem with that, because Paul, in one place, talked about receiving a crown, and he said, I have you. He's talking to the people. You are my crown.
Yes, sir.
The very fact that God allowed me to have something to do concerning the message that brought you to Jesus Christ. He was David the minister that preached to these people the gospel through which they believed.
Yeah.
Now, could he boast? No, because Paul says here, even as the Lord gave to every man. But yet, David, that's a privilege to be able to do that.
Yes, sir.
So I have no idea what the reward is. And it says also, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. I have no idea what that means. You know why? Because it doesn't say.
Exactly.
And I hope that in the last few years, I am starting to learn, just say what the book says. Don't be always, okay, what does that mean? So we must got to run to another passage, try to figure out what that means, and if you're absolutely sure that other passage deals with the same thing, then fine.
Yeah.
But we got to be careful how we do that, because I was taught that way all my life. If you don't understand something from one passage, run to another one, get something that seems similar, read it, and then apply it to that passage. And that's how you come up with all this error and falsehood of today.
Amen. Right.
Now, whatever that reward is, it'll be worth it. And whatever the loss is, when we get there, when it happens, we'll wish we hadn't have lost it.
Amen.
Whatever it is. Now, just as a reminder here, Paul here is not talking about all religious work.
That's right.
Okay? Paul is not talking about some general judgment in the future where all men's work will be tested by the fires of judgment. Notice judgment is never used here.
That's right.
Now it says the fire is going to reveal, and it indicates a type of judgment, but judgment's never used here, is it? That word's never used. What it actually says is every man's work shall be what? Made manifest. The fire is going to try it and tell us what sort it is. Whether it's gold, silver, precious stones. Actually, it would be, the way it says it, is wood, grass, and straw.
Yeah.
And that's the progression down. Wood stands up a little more than grass does. But grass, that's green grass, it stands up a little better than what straw does. But the whole point would seem to be the gold, silver, and precious stones, David, seem to be of a higher order than the wood, the hay, and the stubble, right? It just that seems to be the metaphor that Paul uses. But again, Paul is not talking about all religious works. And secondly, Paul is not even talking about all so-called Christian works.
Yeah.
First of all, verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation.
Amen.
So if a man's building upon another foundation, I don't care if he's using gold. It's on the wrong foundation.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with this being manifest or tested. If a man builds on this foundation, what? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. So we're not talking about religious works. We're not even talking about all so-called Christian works. Look at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I've laid the foundation, and what does he say? And another built where? On that foundation. Paul's talking about whatever men say concerning the person and cross work of Jesus Christ. And everything that we declare to be the truth of God is being built upon that foundation. Whether it's election, whether it's faith, whether it's regeneration, whether it's justification, whether it's sanctification, whether it's singing, whether it's obedience, whether it's repentance, right on down the line. All of these things, other things, are things we're building upon Jesus Christ. But we got to take heed how we build and what we build.
Yes, sir.
But if you're building on the wrong foundation, you're not even in consideration here.
Exactly.
You see. Now, secondly, is this just for preachers? Basically, Paul's talking about those who preach the gospel, right? I planted, what happened? Apollos watered.
Yep.
But the fact is, anytime you speak to someone concerning the person and work of Christ, you are building on that foundation.
Yes, sir.
And I believe it was our Lord. I tried to find it this morning, Joe. It came to my mind as you was preaching. And a couple things you said reminded me of what I was going to say. And then I remembered this passage, but I couldn't find where it was at. But where our Lord said that if a person gives a piece of bread in my name, he'll receive a prophet's reward. Mm-hmm. You remember that passage?
Yeah.
You know why that is? Well, he's talking about not just feeding somebody,
no,
but you're doing something in the name of God Almighty. Now, what glorifies God above everything else? The truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You dishonor the person and work of Christ, God is dishonored. He is honored by nothing else that person says.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. But then here's the whole point. And I know I'm jumping ahead where he says, look at verse 16 and 17 actually. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Well, what is the problem? We're building on Christ. That's important. That's vital. But what does this building do? What does this work do? It affects God's people.
Yes, sir.
It's either to their edification or it could be to their corruption.
Exactly.
Look, if any man defile, the word here means to corrupt.
Yeah.
That's what it's talking about. If any man corrupt the temple of God, what temple? What? You.
Yeah.
You. The people of God.
Yes.
It's not even here talking about our bodies, but that we as individuals make up a body.
That's right.
And we make up a temple of God. And if a man comes along, and then think of it, God's building. And a temple is what? And that's the temple. It is a fixed structure erected by a wise master builder. That's God, not Paul just laid the foundation here.
Yeah.
Right? He said, you're God's building.
Amen.
Now it calls us what? The temple. A temple is a place of basically what?
Worship.
Worship, you see. You're God's temple. He's not talking about our bodies being the temples of the Holy Ghost. That's true, but that's not the context here. We are the temple. And if any man defile the temple of God, any man defile the temple of God, him shall God, the same word.
Yeah.
Now it says just why they changed it. I have no idea. Why those Episcopalians? And that's what they are now. Is what we call them now,
yeah.
Church of England. Why they changed it? But it says, if any man corrupt the temple of God, him shall God corrupt.
Yeah.
For the temple of God is holy, and you are that temple.
Amen.
What are we? What's Paul saying? Anybody deals with my own in a way that seeks to harm them, I will hurt them back.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes,
isn't that what that says?
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you, that means I don't just get up. I had best not just get up here willy-nilly and say, all right, I got to say a few words this morning. Because if it hurts God's people, God says, I'll hurt you back.
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, oh, but you're one of God's. Don't you kid yourself. You remember what God did, wasn't it to Moses? God, because of this matter of circumcision, God was going to kill Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And his wife stepped in and circumcised the child with a sharp stone. Huh? You see, don't ever, ever think that anyone can take advantage of God. God is taken advantage of by no one, not even the elect of God. Okay? Not even the elect of God. Some say, well, God will put up with anything. No, God don't put up with. He put up with stuff in the past. He now commands all men everywhere to do what? Repent.
Amen.
Well, you don't always do that. Well, just shut up. I'm not the one we're talking about. We're talking about God.
Exactly.
And God said to repent, therefore what? Repent.
Amen.
I don't care if everybody else in the world is a child molester. That don't mean God's going to justify you if you are one. Huh?
Yep.
See, God, I'm going to get ahead of myself. Paul's not talking about all religious works. He's not even talking about all Christian works.
Yep.
He's basically talking about the work of preaching the gospel.
Yep.
Could I simplify it to that, David? Isn't that it's the work of preaching, getting the gospel out where, to others who haven't heard it or are unaware of it. And we all may have some part in that. We all... Mac may be building upon that one foundation. Secondly, great care should be taken not only of the sort of our building on Christ, right? That's verse 13, but also on how we build.
Yes, sir.
That's the last part of verse 10. In other words, this is the relationship between manner and kind. Or another way to put it, it's the relationship between attitude and truth. Now I'm going to put it this way. You may argue it a little bit different. May not quite actually completely agree with this, but this is the best I could come up with. It's like this. If I'm preaching the truth, but my attitude is wrong, basically all I'm doing is giving facts. But if I, through the Spirit of God, am preaching the truth in the proper attitude, it is unadulterated, unstained, uncorrupted truth.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
It's truth. I think a lot of people, and I know with me as well, the difference has not been what I say, but the attitude with which I say it. Now here, we're not talking about whether God can use it or not. That's not the point. The point is, when you... No? Well, the point is, when these works stand the test of the fire, will they stand up to the fire?
Yeah.
That's the point. Now, God can use anything. He used the wicked actions of men to save us.
Yes, sir.
In the death of His Son, did He not?
Yes, sir.
Wicked, ungodly, unholy, unrighteous, immoral actions. They killed an innocent man.
Yes, sir.
Made false accusations about him. In a legal court.
Yes, sir.
Did they hired men to lie on him.
Oh, yeah.
Joe, that's immoral.
Exactly.
That's unjust. That's unjust. It's wrong. And yet, David, God used that.
Yes,
but let me tell you, you think those people are not going to die and go to hell apart from the grace of God? Well, they will die and go to hell. The point here, the question here is not, well, can God use the work or not? The point is reward or loss. Whether the work will stand the test of the fire or whether it'll be burned up. And somebody says, well, I don't care. Well, you're an idiot.
That's right.
And you don't know Christ. Listen, you don't know Christ and you have no idea what salvation by grace is.
Yeah.
Well, salvation by grace is when God brings you to love the truth. And when you love something, you protect it. You adore it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want to see that truth hurt.
Exactly.
You don't want to see that truth defamed, even if it means you got to take the lower place, Joe. So again, I say this, here's the relationship between attitude and fact. That's the how you build, and it's the sort. See, it's not, okay, everything I built with was gold, but if you've had the wrong attitude, it may end up as stubble.
Yeah.
But you may feel, well, my ability to speak, it's all stubble. I just can't say it right. I get tongue-tied. I don't remember like I talk to someone and then later I remember all the things I could have said.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But let me tell you something. Whether you realize it or not, that may have been gold. It may have felt like wood, hay, or stubble to you. But that's not the point. The point is God Almighty is the one using these things. And we're not talking about immorality here. You see, we're not talking about you build your fornication on Christ. That's stupid talk. Ain't it? But there are people in this world that teach about faith, but sometimes they teach things wrong about faith. There are people in this world that teach about the new birth, but sometimes they teach things wrong about the new birth. You think that'll stand the test? No. Only gold, silver, and precious stones will stand the test. Only the truth, Mac, will stand the test. But just having the truth, if I preach those things with the wrong attitude, they could be burned as well.
Amen.
I know there was a time, and it doesn't matter, but I had a time, and Earl preached on it the next Sunday. It happened like on a Friday.
Yeah.
And I hadn't talked to Earl, and he got up and preached on it, and I thought, God must have showed him what I did Friday. He made this statement, if you ever talk to somebody and you're telling them the truth of Christ and you're thinking within yourself, I'm going to tell you, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm going to set you straight. I've done that before. And it's not about setting somebody straight.
No.
It's about proclaiming the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Whether they're set straight or not, that doesn't matter.
Exactly.
You know?
That's it.
That doesn't matter. That's not deep. It might be the point for them in the end. But that's not the point. The point is to tell the truth. And you know what the proper attitude is? It's a hard to keep. So that God may be honored and glorified. That's the proper attitude. But again, I'm trying to point out, it takes both. It takes truth. It takes the right doctrine and the right attitude both. That's the how and the sort. Okay? Take heed how you build, but also it's going to be judged for what? What sort it is. Now, both are vital. A lack in either results in loss.
Yeah.
Right? Well, let me tell you, gold is what? Gold. You think all gold is pure gold until men start to mess with it. Right? It's all. I mean, you don't go and dig up 10 karat gold. You dig up. If you dig up real gold, you know what kind of gold you dig up? 24 karat gold.
Amen.
It's when men mix other metals in it that its karat is diminished. Gold is gold. A diamond's a diamond. You don't have to chip off all the rough edges. It's still what? A diamond, a precious. It's still there.
Yes,
everything it ever could be, Joe's already there. It's already there. Now, I don't want to get, because there's some that get it, the gold, the silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, all the little nuances. Here's the point I want to make. This is number three. One reminder. Again, I'll say it. Paul's not talking about all works. He's talking specifically about those things men do in proclaiming the person and work of Christ.
That's it.
And then if you're going to talk about something else God does in the salvation, that's regeneration, faith, repentance, all of these things, and it's connected to the truth of God in Christ, then you are building on that foundation. And when you do, you are either building with gold, silver, precious stones, or what? Wood, hay, or stubble. First of all. And then so, the second point was what? Great care should be taken. I mean, there are times, and some people may see it as funny, but I'll write down something, and it'll go a couple days, and I'll come back and read that, and I'll get out the eraser. No, that don't sound right.
Yeah.
It just don't sound right. Now, when I first wrote it, I thought it sounded great.
Yeah.
I figured you all were going to be enlightened through that statement. No, I'm being silly. But the first time, when I talked about this great care, I said the difference is between man and... No, it's the relationship between man. See, that's the totally opposite.
Uh-huh.
It's not the difference between attitude and fact. It's the relationship between attitude and fact. If you don't have the right attitude, all you're doing is a fact giver.
Yeah.
But if you got the right attitude and you're given the facts, then you're speaking what? Truth.
Exactly.
Truth. Thirdly, this certainly is expressed by Paul metaphorically with the gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. And the revealer is what? Fire.
Yeah.
Right? It says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it, and it is, if you have one of the Bibles that usually have notes, it says is, and that is a better interpretation. I looked at the received text, that it says is, not shall. Because it is revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now here's another point. Because it uses fire, everybody somehow thinks about the final judgment. But the fire comes after the final judgment. The fire is not in the midst of the final judgment. As a matter of fact, in the final judgment, where the great white throne is, upon which Christ Jesus himself sits, these people are not having their works judged and burned. These people are being judged according to their works, and they are then burned. Not their works. They're the ones burned. They're the ones judged according to the works. You remember what I said last week? Some people will have their works judged.
Oh yeah.
But they're going to be saved. Other people are going to have themselves judged according to their works, and they're going to be lost.
Exactly.
If I'm ever judged according to my works, I will split hell wide open.
Amen. That's it.
But when my works are judged, I guarantee you some of them's going to stand the test. Even some of the best ones, Joe, that I think that are the best, they're not going to stand. They're going to suffer. They're going to be burned in the fire. Now everybody, well, is this real fire or not? What does it matter? Is this, what is the actual thing of fire? You've got to have oxygen, fuel, and heat, right? I'm a boiler operator, I ought to know that. But somewhere along that line, you got to have those three things to have fire. Is it a matter of oxygen, fuel, and heat? I don't know. But whatever it is, fire is used to describe it. Therefore, the reality has to be up to par with what's used to describe it.
Yeah.
Right? So it don't matter. I mean, it's like people said, this hell, real fire. Whatever it is, you ain't going to like it.
Exactly.
It is going to be torment.
Exactly.
Is the lake of fire real fire? If that's all you've got to be concerned about, you need some drugs.
Yeah.
Because your mind's in la-la land.
Yeah.
I'm serious. You need to be brought down a few notches. I don't know, some of them heavy ones they give people. I don't know what it is. But do you understand? People will argue and split up over things like that. These are metaphors. But even if it's real fire, Jack, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The point's still the same. The works are going to be burned one way or the other if they're wrong works. Or they'll stand the test of the fire otherwise, right? Let us not argue over the gold, the silver, the precious stones, the wood, hay, or the stubble, or the fire. Let us just simply say, Paul is illustrating something here. You best take care of what you say when you're talking about the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you're talking about salvation, you best take care of what you say, because you're building upon the foundation of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Well, my attitude's good enough. No, you've got to have the facts. You can have the best attitude in the world. If you lie to somebody, that work's going to burn up.
Exactly.
Now, you may be saved, yet so as by the fire, but that work's going to be burned up.
Yeah.
And as I said, somebody said, well, I don't really care as long as I'm saved. Well, you're an idiot. I mean, a bona fide, genuine idiot. You know nothing. I mean, if you're married and that's the way you conduct toward your spouse, you won't be married very long. They'll get tired of that kind of garbage after a while. That kind of relationship, that kind of attitude. Let me say this. Some works are not easily discerned.
Yeah.
Okay? Now I want to show you a case in point. Acts chapter 15. I've mentioned this before. This is not new. Acts chapter 15. And I have just a few minutes left. And we are going to take the Lord's table, Lord willing, but that won't take us a few minutes. There ain't but a handful of us here. So now let's look at this. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. And some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, and you remember, Paul started out with who? Barnabas.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, yeah, when I went to Sunday school for, what was it, till I was 18? Well, I went to, I'm going to get in trouble here in a minute. I went to Sunday school up to about 23, but, you know, once you get to be in the adult class, you get to study from the Bible. Before then, I had to study from lesson plans, you know. Let me tell you, some of the lesson plans were probably better than some of the Bible, some of what I was taught. But nevertheless, you know, Barnabas and Paul started out together. So then why do we read of Paul and Silas later on?
Yeah.
You know, I was never told why.
Yeah.
You know why?
Because
this ain't a real pleasant thing, what you see happening here. Look at what it says. Some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they do." That's an honorable thing, right? And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
But what? But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia. I ain't pronouncing that right, but it doesn't matter. And went not with them to the work. That is, this Mark abandoned them on their other trip.
Yeah.
And he hightailed it back to Jerusalem. That's what it says earlier on.
Yeah.
Now, Paul and Barnabas agree we need to go revisit the brethren, these people we preach to. And Barnabas said, "Good, we'll take Mark with us." Paul says, "No." Well, wait a minute, we're Christians. We'll find an answer, right? Paul thought it not good to take him. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other.
Yeah.
So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas. That's how Silas came into the deal.
Yeah.
What? Because Paul and Barnabas split up over the issue of John Mark. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. Now, some will say, well, see right here, we knew who made the right decision. It doesn't say that.
No.
Does it? It doesn't say Barnabas made the wrong decision. As a matter of fact, if you go all the way over to the book of Timothy, you will find Paul actually finally saying, you know what, Mark, he's profitable to the ministry.
Yeah
he hightailed it at one time. Yeah, he cut the mustard later on. He cut the muster with who? Barnabas. Because Paul refused to take him with him in the first. Now here's the point. Who was right? Who was wrong? I have to put it like this. Nobody. I don't know. You know? The point is, who knows when the fire is put down on those things, what's going to burn, what's going to remain. Right? Everything's not always so easily discerned, so easily understood. I mean, there are times when I thought, boy, that effort, whatever it was, that was a miserable failure. Almost got in a fight because of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's happened to me. But you never know. You know, you never know for sure. But here's a passage of Scripture. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. It may just give us a little insight on this. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let me see if I'm right there. Well, I'm in 2 Timothy, so that's not going to help me. 1 Timothy 5. Yeah, this would be the right one. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 5 first. And I'll read a couple verses from that in a moment. But let me say this. Here's the question. Now, here's another question. And for years I felt this way. Most people say, well, this fire, this revelation is going to be at the judgment, or in particular, the judgment seat of Christ. I can't deny that may well happen then. Okay? Now, if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians, and we may look at that in a moment, but probably not. Scripture says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And who's the we? Who's he writing to? He's writing to believers.
Yes, sir.
The people who've been called, people who've been regenerated, who believe, who've repented. And it says, we will stand before Christ to receive for the things done in the body, whether they be good or evil.
Amen.
And he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Now, folks, I don't know what that's going to be like. I don't. But we're going to be standing before the Holy One.
Yeah.
You know? And we are so unholy.
Exactly.
Let us not. Well, am I going to be lost? Oh, please. Give it up. Give up your Arminianism. Lay it to the side.
Yeah,
you know? Serious.
Yeah.
Well, what if I did something wrong? What do you mean, what if? You have.
Exactly.
You're one of the most miserable wretches that ever walked.
Yeah.
You're worse than I am.
Yeah.
Does it really make you feel? You're better than I am. Does that make you feel better? Is that going to make you okay? Huh? You got to be as good as God is.
It's all that matters.
You see? Now, the point is, we're all going to stand as believers, not the lost world.
Yeah.
They're going to stand at the great white throne. Well, actually, they won't stand.
Yeah.
They'll be there.
Yeah.
We, believers, God's people, will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And this, some of this may take place there, but it may be taking place now, too. Sometimes God uses the fire, and fire is symbolical of what? Trials, tribulations. And God will use those things to show to us that was a good thing.
Yeah.
You know? Or that wasn't quite so good a thing. You know? Now let me read you the passage. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after.
Yeah.
Now, there will be people in the end of the judgment will think, boy, I never expected that person to be there.
Yeah.
That's a pretty decent fella, you know? There will be a lot of that happening, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
The whole point is, some men's sins are open. They're, you can tell, that's a sin.
Yeah.
But other things, David, are not quite so visible, not quite so discernible. But look what else it says. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest, what? Beforehand. Before what hand? Before the judgment. Right? And they that are otherwise cannot be healed. See, the whole point is, don't sit around and say, well, I guess I'll just have to wait one day. Because that ain't always true. But let me say this. My time's about gone. Let us not be deceived here, though. I want to make this point. And I don't know that anyone here is thinking this, but I know I used to, was the way I was taught. I was always taught this passage, 1 Corinthians 3. That's when I stand before Christ at the judgment seat, and all the wickedness I've done, I'll see it burned up before me, and I won't get a reward. But all the good things I've done, I'll get a reward for those things, so it'll stand the test of fire. That is not the context here. And let me tell you something. If you stand before God as a fornicator, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to go to hell.
Yeah, that's it.
That's right. Oh, that scares me. It ought to.
Yeah.
My God, it ought to.
Yeah.
You know what Paul said in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21? The works of the flesh are manifest. You don't have to wait till the judgment.
Exactly.
And he said, here they are. And he starts to list them.
Yeah.
Right?
Sir.
I'm not even going to read it. You know what he says in that passage? And they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, ain't Paul self-righteous. Who's he think he is? We're not saved by works anyway, right? Hmm? Was Paul self-righteous when he said that? Or was he telling the truth? Well, wait a minute. He didn't just say it in one place. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. He starts listing these things again. You know what he says? And they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Whoa, wait a minute. He ain't done yet. When he wrote to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, he mentioned these things again. And you know what he said? And they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yep.
Now wait a minute, he ain't done yet. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. He lists all these things. And you know what he said? And they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You either stand before God in your flesh or you stand before God in Christ.
Amen.
One or the other. Now, if you use Christ as an excuse to live after your flesh, you're those people Jude talks about. You've at least listened to them. They are men who come in unaware, pernicious men, turning the grace of God into what? Lasciviousness. You use the grace of God as an excuse to fulfill your immoral flesh. You don't know the grace of God.
That's it.
Paul tells us this. in Galatians 5. You walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, I'm such a miserable sinner. Yeah, you are. But if you have the Spirit of God, you can walk in the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
He doesn't say you won't have the lust of the flesh. He doesn't say they won't be there, Jack, but he said you won't have to fulfill them.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, you know, I just can't help it. You don't know much about grace.
Right.
You're depending on yourself, evidently. You don't really know what grace is there. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Well, that's the whole. That's the exact opposite of why God gives us grace now.
Yeah.
If it was just grace to get to heaven, He wouldn't have to give it to me till I needed to get there.
Yeah, that's right.
But He gives me grace before I get there, Jack. Years before I get there. Why? So that we're not under the dominion of sin.
Exactly.
Now, are we still under the influence of sin? Every day. But we're not under the dominion of it. Listen to this phrase. It's one of them good phrases. But it may burn up. I don't know. You be the judge. Listen. Spiritual works may be defiled by the flesh. That's why we may see some men's works, even though they seem good, burn up. Spiritual works may be defiled by the flesh, but flesh works are never sanctified by grace.
Amen.
That's right.
God never sanctifies fornication.
No.
He never sanctifies theft. He never sanctifies heresy. Oh, look at that, all that list of things that are against sound doctrine. Somebody said, well, you're saying a believer can't sin. See, there again, you don't know anything about grace. You don't get it. You just, it's like Tim James says, love Christ and live as you please. Somebody says, oh, you're letting people go. No, you don't get it. If you love Christ, you're going to want to please Christ. You're going to want to honor Christ. And when you don't, you will be ashamed of yourself.
Yes, sir.
You see, when God gives you repentance, God says it never needs to be repented of.
Amen.
So if you ever feel sorry for what you've let go in the past, what's gone, you got a problem.
Yeah.
Remember what the Israelites who looked back, what God said that was? Unbelief.
Exactly.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
They looked back and longed over the leeks and the garlic and the onions. They were saying Egypt's better than this.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, you think Joshua and Caleb said Egypt's better than this? Uh-uh. Why? Because they believed God. They knew there was something better in the end.
Yes, sir.
And I know there's something better in the end. You see, I don't regret at one time for anything I've lost in the past. I'm serious. Anything. Name it. Is it gone? It's gone.
Amen.
Good riddance. Goodbye to it. Well, but it was part of it was your fault. No, all of it may have been my fault.
Yes, sir.
That's not the point. If it's gone, it's gone.
Yes, sir.
Whether it's your sin or whether it's your works. Because our works may well be our sin. In most cases, that's what they are. Father, I pray that as we partake of this table, we may, as you instructed us, to remember you. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Paul, Joe, would you two come up, please? I think, David, you did it last time, didn't you? I think, David, I may be calling on somebody all the time. I don't know.